And now, here is Winfred Claiborne.
Our lesson today will be devoted to the topic, Our Heavenly Home. Do you believe heaven is a real place, or just a pipe dream? Heaven for millions of people is not a real place. It's just pie in the sky by and by. One of the greatest tragedies that can come to a father or a mother is the loss of a child. How do parents whose understandings and insights are limited to their own experiences and not rooted in Scripture handle such great losses? If they believe in God, do they blame Him for taking their innocent children? I know a living person, the Lord Jesus Christ, who has complete knowledge of life beyond the grave and who has revealed that truth to us. Since He came down from heaven, He surely knows about the existence and the nature of heaven. When our Lord informed His immediate disciples that He was ready to leave them and return to the Father, they were understandably sorrowful and afraid. He then assured them, "Let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God. Believe also in Me. In My Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto Myself, that where I am, there you may be also." John 14:1-3. Our Lord even told them the way to our heavenly home. Jesus Christ is the only way to those many mansions. No one comes to the Father but through Jesus Christ. John 14:4-6. Only by loving God and obeying the gospel do we have the promise of living with Him forever. 2 Thessalonians 1:8-9. We know, both by experience and by divine revelation, man will not live forever on this earth. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Romans 5:12. And it is appointed unto men once to die, but after that the judgment. Hebrews 9:27. For here we have no continuing city, but we seek one to come. Hebrews 13:14. Atheists, secular humanists, and other unbelievers know that death is inevitable. They seem not to be bothered by that fact, although they could be just whistling in the dark. If promises of immortal salvation or fear of eternal punishment distract human beings from present concerns, from self-actualization, and from rectifying social injustices, why have most hospitals, children's homes, nursing homes, hospices, and great colleges and universities been established by devoutly religious people? Why has religion been the major influence on movements to eradicate slavery and other evils from the face of the earth? Even skeptics often credit our Lord Jesus Christ and His church with exerting a powerful and benevolent influence on the world. In his scholarly set of books, History of European Morals, J. H. Leckie, an English skeptic, affirms that Christ has done more to regenerate and soften mankind than all the disquisitions of philosophers and all the exhortations of moralists. The Old Testament does not speak so explicitly on life after death as does the New Testament. But there is hardly any doubt that the great heroes of the faith expected to live with God forever. What else could David have had in mind when he wrote, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Psalm 23:6. The house of the Lord could not have been the earthly temple or tabernacle. David almost certainly did not have the knowledge of heaven the New Testament provides, but he did believe he would be with the Lord forever. Abraham, the friend of God, James 2:23, and the father of them who believe, Romans 4:11, was a wanderer for many years after he left Ur of the Chaldees. Although God had promised the land of Canaan to Abraham, the great patriarch never really settled in the land as a permanent resident. But Abraham had implicit faith that God would fulfill his promises. By faith he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Hebrews 11:9-10. Since childhood, I have had some fear and trepidation about death. Maybe not so much about death as about dying. But since my Molly handled her death with such great faith and hope, I eagerly look forward to that city that has foundations. In fact, I have asked our sons to place the word reunited on our tombstone after my death. I want to be united with our Lord and reunited with my Molly and with other loved ones. The Apostle Paul expresses great faith and hope in God's promises that his people will enjoy a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. Paul uses the Greek oidomen, we know, a word meaning we have come to know and we still know. We have full knowledge. Therefore, we are always confident, knowing, that is, having sure knowledge, that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord, for we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and willing to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. 2 Corinthians 5:1-6-8. Dr. Peter Kraft, professor of philosophy at Boston College, asked, "What may I hope?" He answers, "Just as faith fulfills the mind's deepest quest for truth, and love fulfills the moral will's deepest quest for goodness, so the hope of heaven fulfills the heart's deepest quest for joy." Page 1. In his outstanding book, The Problem of Pain, C.S. Lewis affirms, "There have been times when I think we do not desire heaven, but more often I find myself wondering whether, in our heart of hearts, we have ever desired anything else." Page 133. The Apostle Peter provides some insight into the nature of our heavenly home. The early Christians were undergoing intense persecution from the Roman authorities. Peter wanted to bolster the faith and courage of those early Christians. He urged, "Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial that is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice, inasmuch as you are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, you may be glad also with exceeding joy." 1 Peter 3:12-13. But why should Christians in any generation gladly endure afflictions and sufferings if there is no reward at the end of the journey? Peter assures all faithful believers, "We have been begotten again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fades not away, reserved in heaven for you." 1 Peter 1:3-4. Incorruptible means imperishable, undying, immortal. Undefiled means without defect or flaw. Dr. Hugo McCord translates the Greek unstained. The expression fades not away means that our inheritance does not wither or dry up. The inheritance Christ has prepared is reserved for those who are prepared to receive it. Colossians 3:1-4 is one of my favorite passages on heaven. Because Charles Williams' translation takes into consideration the tenses of the verbs in that passage, I shall read from his version. "So if you have been raised to live in fellowship with Christ, keep on seeking those things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Practice occupying your minds with things above, not with things on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with God through your fellowship with Christ. When Christ, who is our life, appears, you too will appear to be glorified in fellowship with him." I close our lesson today with the words of William Hunter and James D. Vaughan's song, "I Feel Like Traveling On." "My heavenly home is bright and fair. I feel like traveling on. Nor pain nor death can enter there. I feel like traveling on. Its glittering towers the sun outshine. I feel like traveling on. That heavenly mansion shall be mine. I feel like traveling on. Let others seek a home below. I feel like traveling on. Which flames devour and waves o'erflow. I feel like traveling on. The Lord has been so good to me, I feel like traveling on. until that blessed home I see, I feel like traveling on. Thank you for listening today, and may God richly bless you.